Welcome to Define Your Path with Doc V, bringing you real talk with global thought leaders to inspire hearts and minds for sustainable breakthroughs and profitability for your life and business. Here's your host, Doc V.
Hi there. I am Dr. Virginia LeBlanc, also known as Doc V, the Pivot Maestro. Welcome to the Define Your Path podcast for those seeking to define their own path into purposed entrepreneurship. This is a show about transforming perspectives as well as inspiring and motivating you to think without a box by exposing you to global thought leaders, change agents, and legacy builders like my guest today across industries on how they successfully define their path in life and business to profitability and sustainable wins. At Defining Paths, we operate in truth, transparency, and love to help you navigate the waters of your life and put you back in business. And Define Your Path podcast is no different. It all starts in the mind. Will you be the captain or the crew? Today's spotlight, I am so excited to bring him to you. We worked together in the Pentagon, and he's just a tremendous human being. Michael Sturtevant is my guest today. Michael Jerome Sturtevant is the president and CEO of Closed Gap Solutions, LLC, where he is literally closing the gap between requirements and solutions for corporate clients. With his company values nested in a service first, client satisfaction always mantra. Michael hails from a small town in North Carolina, Marshville. As a third generation veteran, he knew two things from an early age. He wanted to serve his community and nation after graduating from George Washington Carver High School for Engineering and Science in Philadelphia, PA. In fall 1993, he enrolled at Howard University. He joined the Reserve Officer Training Corps, graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Psychology, and was commissioned as a second lieutenant as a field artillery officer in 1998. His first 23 years of discovery prepared him for the next two decades of service to his nation and community. His duty stations were South Korea, Fort Sill, Oklahoma, Fort Bragg, North Carolina, Travis Air Force Base, California, Department of the Army staff, did two tours there, Washington, D.C., United States Central Command, Tampa, Florida, Office of the Secretary of Defense, Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, and finally, the Space Missile Defense Command, Redstone Arsenal, Alabama. Michael deployed three times in defense of our nation and wouldn't trade those experiences for anything. The 3 years in combat zones gave him an honest reflection on the essential times in his life. It's with family, friends, and community. The rank awards and duty stations are significant achievements, but not what drives him. All in all, every duty station marked a time to commit to serving in the community in many capacities. In addition, Michael is also the president of Small Business Ventures, focused on community planning, diversity, equity, and inclusion, and team building. He genuinely finds joy in impacting communities with resources, programs, and opportunities. The military has allowed him to take responsibility for America's most prized position, its sons and daughters. Amen. Collectively, he's gone to war and returned with even more determination to be the difference to affect change. As a member of the Madison County Mambas, it represents the next and best opportunity to thrive in a community committed to diversity and inclusion, veteran transition, and engage families that want the best for others. He and his family moved to Madison, Alabama, June of 2021. Michael says, "As we transition from active duty to veteran, it's a solemn commitment never to forget those who sacrifice our freedom. For our freedom. I would be remiss if I didn't publicly thank the Mambas for allowing me an opportunity to be a part of something authentic and surreal. The Mambas family has those core values. And again, it was a no-brainer to stand in the gap committed to Madison County's now and in its future." So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome my guest today, Michael Jerome Sturtevant. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Wow. I had to take a deep breath and figure out who you were talking about. So
yes. Look, I knew you win.
Yeah. Hey, listen, it is truly an honor to be on your platform. And just thank you for just a genuine opportunity to give back and responsibility to help others discover their pathway. And I say that in the most genuine and honest way, because a lot of people think that it's due with time comes maturity. right? So at a certain age, but we got a lot of old fools out here that do a lot of the same things over and over again. Yeah. And so I've learned through life that if you do the same thing, you'll get the same outcome.
Absolutely.
It's when you're willing to step into the unknown with the confidence and faith that is to serve others, but also understand that you have a prepared responsibility through all of your own experiences, you know, failures, wins, successes, and those experiences, you're able to really genuinely help others.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I couldn't have said it any better. You know, it's that think without a box concept that I talk about a lot. So we are super excited to hear your story, how you faced your fears to love the skin you're in and pivot into pursuing your passion and soul purpose. So, you know, as we talked about before we came on air, you know, we asked two questions, very simple.
Yes.
How have you defined your path? And how do you help others define theirs? So, and then we'll just flow between as we do. So the spotlight is yours.
Okay. So how did I first discover my path? It was through a lot of reflection. And honestly, I had to stop being what everyone thought I could be.
Oh, yes.
So those years in high school and when you're young and, hey, I want to go to Howard University. And no one in my family had ever been to Howard University, but it had this mystique about it. It had this reputation. And so the first thing someone told me was, hey, well, you can be a doctor. So I said, cool. And I took every ology possible. That's why those years go from 93 to 98, because I was in discovery. Mm-hmm. Psychology fit my niche because it was really about healing through a childhood as well as an adolescent years of trying to figure out, if I don't have acceptance, what can I become? And through the discovery of those years at Howard, I really discovered that there's no one going to tell you your value. You have to really invest in where you want to be without knowing what it's going to be. You know, you can't read the tarot cards. You can't imagine it, because where you end up is truly not where you thought you would be, you know?
Yes.
So again, so that transition point came to me actually 2007. And I was in the Army already. I was in command, best shape of my life. And that transition point was I had a stroke while I was running. And it was on the highest platform you can be on. I was in command. I was commander of 215 soldiers. And we were running on that hot Friday morning, and my heart stopped. And so in that moment, people all talk about the bright light and all that good stuff. Well, I saw my life flash before my eyes on everything that I kind of treaded the fence on. Spiritually, I was the type of person where I would do things, I would accomplish them, and I'd say, look at God. You know, not once did I really have the faith to endure that resilience is a huge part of faith. And coming through that resilience has to be able to give you a compassionate, authentic transparency that even when you didn't know how you were going to make it, you could still make it.
Yes.
At that point in time, the military showed me two things. They showed me that you're as good as your best run and you're only good as your last good day. And so from that moment, the report cards changed. It went from being the best officer in the brigade, you know, down to like would best serve as a staff officer. And I didn't think it was fair because I couldn't control the thing that was happening. Well, when you think that you're in control and you have a spiritual guidance over your life, I wouldn't say religion, but a spiritual guide over your life.
Yes.
That hand of spades change, you know? And so what ends up happening is everything that you depended on, now you have to really depend on your faith. And so in that moment, I noticed that I did two things really well. I could talk to people, I was engaging, but I also had all of these things that could help motivate people to get them to inspiration. Motivation never helped me. It just never helped me. It's, inspiration is a thing that always made me try something new, be innovative, and create.
So,
you know, when it comes down to now where I see the difference in thought leaders. I do not like motivators.
Yes.
I like, inspirational, caring leaders that can authentically place themselves in the feet of those that are trying and have the compassion, you know, not the empathy, but the compassion to understand that how, what tools can we put in place to get there?
Yes.
A couple of years ago, we had a, so fast forward, when we last met, we were doing a seminar called Defining a Narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And in that time, what I wanted to share with people was how you take off your mask
mm-hmm.
and who you present yourself, it's all a mask.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what you presented and that's how they treat you. The best way to teach people how to love you is holding them utterly accountable to be their best at your best.
Yes.
Not taking compromise in trying to show them that they can get away with mistreating you or you having to come down to their level. But mm-hmm. it's really at that saturated level of, hey, you're going to get the best out of me, but I'm really going to get the best out of you, because that is all we're going to be to each other is our best.
Yeah.
So in those moments, I had to notice also, I said, well, what else can I do with this? And so I started looking at everything I had done in the Army. And then I looked at everything that I was doing for free. And then I looked yeah. at everybody else and I translated it into each one of those skills yeah. of what I do, because there was always a time when someone was like, hey, I need you to go speak to this group, or I need you to go do this. And I was like, yeah. all right, I'm honestly an introvert.
Yeah.
You know, so, but I understand compartmentalization, but I also understand the art of human interaction. Mm-hmm. And in that art, there's a real heartbeat behind the people that you want to inspire, and they won't believe it unless you live it.
Yeah.
And so again, as coming through that faith of knowing that once God got me up after not breathing or having been responsive for 4 minutes and 32 seconds,
wow.
And then to take a year to recover, and then after that you go on a deployment, and then that whole time you're really discovering, I wouldn't be here if it was not for a reason. And the first thing I did was I started meeting people that I had never met before. And they would say things like, you want to start a business?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, okay. I started receiving
mm-hmm.
what they would have for me. And so the job that I had in when I was at CENTCOM in Tampa, Florida was, let me make sure I say it correctly. I was the idea guy. That if you showed me the idea, I could show you how to integrate it within a capability that the Army needed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would pitch. I would pitch ideas all day. They would show me a cup, an empty cup. And I'd be like, oh, man, you put it up, you take the bottom out and you put it up to your eye. That's a telescope. And they'd be like, can we buy one? I'd be like, yeah, we can buy one. But where? Go to Amazon. Buy one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the whole time I noticed two things. I noticed something else. The entire time I'm in the military, the entire time I've been in the military, I've only used 40% of my value.
Mm-hmm.
40%. And I knew that my life, something deserves 100% of me.
Yes.
Something, and it's the people that I serve, the community that I serve, and the way that we reach them. And so in that vein, I knew I could write. So I started having this idea about writing books. And I was like, well, I don't really like writing books. I'm pretty abstract. So
mm-hmm.
I started writing devotionals. And I started a website called Motivationally Speaking. It's mm-hmm. still available now.
Yeah,
and so for like 9 years, I just wrote. You know, if I saw a stop sign, I'd be like, God didn't mean for you to stop and stay. He meant for you to stop and wait until mm-hmm. the time was clear.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that for about 9 years. And I said, man, this ain't gonna make no money. But it was never about the money. I just had a passion for sharing whatever God told me to share with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then half the time I could go back and read it years later, you know, Facebook could come up as a new thought, you know, or in your memories.
Mm-hmm.
And I read it and I'd be like, what was I on that day? You know, but it would be something that somebody needed. And it
right,
was,
right.
And, you know, and people would always call me out of the blue. I saw it, man. And let me tell you what I was going through. And I was like, yeah. And then they asked me the question, well, what were you thinking about? I said, I have no idea, you know, but if you needed it, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So then as time went on, I started noticing that I had a knack for bringing together seminars because I love the human dynamic. And in those seminars, I wanted to be able to show people who they thought they were versus who they are. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we came up with the concept of, you know, who do you actually meet? The person with the mask or the authentic self of who's going to be able to inspire you in their truth? And so doing those types of tasks and those types of being creative in that way was really became my niche. And so from there, I started understanding that there are so many gaps that need to be fulfilled. We went through, and I'm not a politician or anything like that, but we went through an administration and it changed people to actually show you who they were. Mm-hmm. And we saw not only a lot of racism, but we saw a lot of people for who they were in their own intellects, for their own box, for their own thoughts.
Yeah.
And one thing that I want to be sure of is I want to be people to be sure of understanding what microaggression really was. Mm-hmm. What was marginalization? Why do some people get chosen and others don't? And mm-hmm. being able to really help create that stratosphere of where you could gain relevance for yourself, regardless of wherever someone else tried to marginalize you. Mm-hmm. And from there, it was just building, you know, you started building and creating. And so mm-hmm. this is how I got to Close Gap Solutions.
Yeah. So it sounds like from a very young age, you were pretty clear on what you wanted to do. You had some concept or idea and you followed that path and you were able to stay out of most of those boxes that people try to put you into or that can potentially cause you to or deter you from your path. So you were just kind of like following your flow, you know, you were just operating in a positive flow. And, you know, and then just started to connect the dots as you're operating this flow, you know, bring what I call what I've identified as conscious intuition. You know how the intuition constantly speaks to us, but it's in the subconscious. And usually the noise of life does not allow us to fully hear it or to process it consciously. But it sounds like you were, you know, quite successful in doing that and tapping into that. And so that path led you to now Close Gap Solutions, where you are integrating all of this knowledge in systems that you use to help your corporate clients. Tell us a little bit about how you help, who you work with and how you help them define their path.
Well, due to NDAs, specifics, I don't divulge exactly who, but what I can share with you is that on a daily basis, whether it's with the military or just client-based, 5 to 6 times a day, I get a phone call and someone's asking me, well, how do you set up an LLC? Or this is the idea I have. How do we manufacture this? Or how do we implement this system into this process? And so I utilize my Lean Six Sigma. I utilize Scrum. I utilize Agile. All of these different techniques to really find how do I fulfill their intentional purpose into what they want to fix in the world. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people just tell me they just want to figure out a way to make money. And I say, okay, well, hey, I'll give you one of my t-shirt companies and you can white label my t-shirt company. And okay, cool. You know, it runs itself. Mm-hmm. In other cases, they are long drawn out brainstorm sessions to where you really have to listen intuitively and be aware of what the need is versus what the desire can become. Sometimes people want what they want because that's just their general idea. You know, mm-hmm. I want a podcast because I want people to understand what my idea is. And mm-hmm. I say, well, your podcast should probably help people discover something that they've always thought about. How mm-hmm. do you get unstuck? Mm-hmm. You know, what's the best way to visualize and make things happen? You know, the Ten Commandments was the second copy. It was never the first. Mm-hmm. So people always mm-hmm. think that there's no perfect product. Mm-hmm. Moses stuttered. And you try to give people those impactful ways of thinking about things because nothing's perfect. You know, mm-hmm. it's really in the design of what the purpose is. And so right now I have, I sit on a couple of boards and I'm the guy that they bring the project to and we'll sit down and brainstorm it. I draw out a process for them. And then as they make money, I make money. So it's becoming one of those things where I like to be the silent partner in the background to help people understand that The way you think about things may not be the thing that's going to inspire people to buy what you have. Mm-hmm. And so every idea is great, but not every idea is a money-making idea. So along the lines from you name an enterprise, I can do something about it, or I know someone within my network that can help someone with it. So even for you, I would say there are three of your upcoming guests are going to bless your platform and help it grow. So that's the thing that, and so the thing about it is when you learn how to do it, I put it like this. There's a saying about buying things. If you can buy it 10 times, you don't buy it unless you can buy it 10 times or three times, right? Mm-hmm. So I have no problem with giving things away because they come back to me in tenfold. Mm-hmm. You know, I have no apprehensions or fears of competing with anybody because no one can do what I do. And so that's what makes the difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what, you know, that's what we try to convey to our folks who want to get on this purposed entrepreneur path, because it's not just about making money. You know, you put people first and that takes care of your bottom line. You know, you activate that law of attraction. So I love what you said just about, you know, just, you know, you're giving, you know, freely giving. And, you know, it's going to return to you because you're doing it, you know, from your heart and not as, oh, you're going to owe me or, you know. So, I mean, literally, you know, we're trying to, and I can tell with your company, we're trying to change how business is done, you know, and really from that human capital value standpoint, you know, really valuing people, you know, whether it's employees within your company, your consultants, or, you know, it's literally the client, you know, at Defining Paths, we call everybody's family, you know, who we, right. we serve, we work with, you know, they're not just clients. We don't even like that term. But yeah, so no, this is beautiful. I just love what you're doing, how you're just open to what the universe has for you. Right. It's just coming.
Well, right now, my niche for and my passion right now is in diversity, equity, inclusion. Uh-huh. And we want to be able to capture at the lowest level two spaces. At the employee level, we want no employee to never feel as though their thoughts or their support is not valued and mm-hmm. we're not there to protect them. Yeah. So teaching them about sexual harassment, teaching them about, you know, like I said before, marginalization and microaggression. And there are different types of microaggression. I teach that in my class. Mm-hmm. What you want them to be able to understand is that in this soup bowl of different personalities and equities, your most powerful ally is someone that does not look like you, right? Yes. You know, but it's also in how well you build the culture. Mm-hmm. And now within the context of the workspace, there's a lot of flack about who's not being hired versus what culture can sustain the group that is hired. Right. And so people will not stay where they're not valued, right? Yeah. They're not valued. So mm-hmm. a lot of times they say, well, why haven't they? So I'll do an assessment and I look at their hiring practice and say, hey, you have not interviewed a person of color or a woman in the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. But then in that assessment also, I say you would be a liability to anyone, any person of color or a woman because of the culture you have now and the dynamic that you have. Mm-hmm. And so no amount of money is worth them being disrespected. Right. But federally, under the federal regulations of sexual harassment, your company is one lawsuit away from losing everything. Mm-hmm. So these are some tools that I can help you with to help you understand that your workplace should be fulfilled with how you're treating the capability you're providing versus the customer base that's doing the work. Mm-hmm. And so that when you come from that perspective, it's a lot better. In some cases, they tell me, well, I can hire what I want to hire. Well, federally, you can, but again, there's a law about that. Right. So when you go from the federal strategy of what diversity, equity, inclusion is, there are five national tenets that are taught. But as a doctor, as Dr. LeBlanc, when you start talking about the skin you're in, you can't change that, mm-hmm. right? But you're qualified to help people personify how much value they have Because the people don't hire you if they can't make more off of you than you would be by yourself. Right. So that's the reason for a salary. I can keep you at a baseline, but I'm going to earn more off your value than being there. So diversity, equity, inclusion is really the baseline of how we insert culture into the workspace. But also we give leaders a responsibility to understand that the dynamics of human culture, as well as the manifestation of the quality and ethics of understanding that diversity doesn't mean a bunch of colors. Right. And equity doesn't mean that I have enough to make sure that I put a different one at the table. Yeah. And inclusion does not mean that I got to have a gay friend.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, this is real talk. I mean, this is truth and transparency, right? And it's all in love. And, you know, in our last few, couple of minutes, I tell you, we could just go on, and it's been forever since we've connected. So I'm super excited for you to be on the show today. Yeah. Let's talk. You just said something that was so poignant to me, and I want to make sure that our listeners did not miss that, that your most powerful ally is the person who doesn't look like you.
Yeah.
You know, it's that's a powerful statement. You know, because we get comfortable in our comfortableness, if I may.
Right.
And, you know, and it's difficult. It's that box. We want to stay in that color wheel or whatever, you know, and it stifles our progress, our business, our social growth. You know, it festers, it creates fears. So let's talk about, you know, embracing real quickly. Let's talk about embracing that fear and finding that person who doesn't look like you, who's going to be your most powerful ally.
So that's perfect. And the reason I say that is because the first thing people point to is racism. Mm-hmm. And then if it's not racism, it's sexism. Mm-hmm. And so in the political climate that we're in, you know, those are the easiest two things that identify where you stand in the pecking order of society. Mm-hmm. And so there are two tasks that I encourage anyone to do. If you're in a crowded room and there's a circle, stand near it. It'll open up for you.
Mm. Oh, right? That's good. Mm-hmm.
If you lead with, "I'm Dr. LeBlanc," everyone will stop just to listen to you. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And so the thing is, it's more or less taking in the different points of view, and then allowing the same as what you just did with me was allowing an opportunity to dialogue. Mm-hmm. So you have conversations, you have dialogues, and then you have you have hard conversations, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so in that dialogue, one thing right now that I capitalize on is I do my best to have men understand you are not a woman.
Mm. Mm.
You do not know what a woman can go through. I don't care how many memes we see. I don't care how many wigs you put on. I don't know how many times. I don't care how tight your jeans are or how many pairs of yoga pants you are. You are not a woman. You can be as effeminate as you want to be, but what you're saying is, I want to establish that I feel this way, and this is the closest I can get to being in this space. Mm-hmm. And so when we look at, and I'm just choosing this as a topic, women are the most abused species on this planet. The polar bear ain't got nothing on women.
Look. I'm a Black woman in America.
Right. And so, when we start looking at the age and the capability and capacity of what women have gone through from an age of not being able to work. So they had to marry and stay in an abusive relationship,
yes.
to not being able to vote. And now they get a vote. And now the voice of where they have to stand in line to, you know, those are the alliance of that is be willing to sit and understand what the issues are.
Yes.
Understand what the value of them having those platforms so that they can speak to children that are confused about sexuality and relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So men's ideal of a man's ideal of sexuality in a relationship is really on one occupation, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. it's on one occupation, and that's how they think women think, but they've mm-hmm. never had that conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the same as when people throughout my time in the Army, most times I was the only face that looked like me in the room. But mm-hmm. if they saw something on the news, they say, why did he act like that? Mm-hmm. I don't know why they act like that. I wasn't there.
Yeah.
You know, why do they act like that? I have no idea. Yeah. But you become the rationale, or they look at you and say, well, angry black women. Mm-hmm. Why y'all always angry? Well, the misogynistic comment you just made would make anybody angry. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's really within our culture, we really have to become friends again.
Yes.
With having the conversations
yes.
about those things within our own community.
Mm-hmm.
And within that, it's like it's questioning what we think is funny.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why is that funny? Yeah. Because what we're laughing at an inner truth that's a hurt that in sure. most cases is against the gender, the sex, or the race
mm-hmm.
that has already been abused.
Right.
And so having that safe space to really have that safe conversation without it becoming about you.
Yes. You know, and when we embrace that, we just become powerful beyond our beliefs. And that's, you know, that's a part of my whole being, you know, being whole in mind, body, soul, and business. Because, you know, a lot of people wonder why they get stuck in business. Well, have you addressed the whole person? I mean, is there something, do you still have some negative energy in you that's blocking you from something? Or are you operating and walking in love, you know, so you can follow that positive flow and, you know, and positively attract. So yeah. It's about love, truth, transparency, and love. And the world is afraid of truth, transparency, and love.
what I reach out to teach young, you know, a lot of guys, I've been married 18 years now, and a lot of guys, you know, they say, man, well, I love my wife, but she don't do nothing for me. I said, brother, you don't love her. Because she don't do nothing for you. Love is only patient and kind. That's mm-hmm. it. Then it's not all those other things, you know. And mm-hmm. so I use that as a dressing of you never stop loving someone. You learn to love yourself more than the behavior they've shown you that doesn't love you enough.
Yeah, I love it. It's excellent way to end. And if you guys haven't figured out, Michael is also a relationship coach. Michael, thank you so much for being our spotlight today. Oh my goodness, my producer's gonna kill me, but this has been so much fun.
Hey, thank you so much, and I tell you, I'm always here for you. And again, we need to get some Dr. LeBlanc merch. We'll talk offline about that. If you want to find me, I'm at Closed Gap Solutions, and I'm also on social media. But again, thank you so much. And listen, you are creating change in a world that needs it.
Ah, bless you. And I appreciate that affirmation, the affirmation, the confirmation. And yes, we will connect on that merch. Folks, you can read Michael Sturdivant's full bio and connect with him from our Define Your Path podcast platform. Be sure to visit our virtual home to see what we're up to at definingpaths.online. And it's an awful lot. I'm Doc V, the Pivot Maestro, and always your corner woman. Be true to you and define your path. We'll see you on our next episode. Thanks again, Michael.
All right. Thank you.
You've been listening to Define Your Path with Doc V. To learn how to see with true vision and define your path, visit definingpaths.online/true-vision.